Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Now, the greatest radio shows of all time.
Suspense.
The Shadow Node.
Washington calling David Harding, counter-spy.
Classic Radio Theater.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Dragnet. Gunsmoke.
The Lone Ranger.
Now, step back into our time machine with your host, Wyatt Cox.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
Yes, the Signal Oil Company continued to produce the Whistler program in the summertime, and that's what we're going to hear now. An episode of the program, July 29th, 1951. And this is a story that even resonates today, because you see, danger is a beautiful blonde.
And now stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history. The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. Signal, the famous Go Farther gasoline, invites you to sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler.
I am The Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now for the Signal Oil Company, The Whistler's strange story. Danger is a beautiful blonde.
Like anyone else, Van Barclay gave little thought to the precarious nature of everyday living. Had he had occasion to probe the fact, he might have acknowledged that danger is always present and that it can strike quite suddenly. Only Van Barclay wasn't thinking about such things. Perhaps he was too restless to care. A young engineer, unmarried, can get restless. Working in a new, strange city, he can get lonesome, too. Van Barclay was one or the other, or both of these things, on a Saturday night, when he came out of a movie and went for a stroll along the Santa Monica Palisades, in preference to going back to his hotel room. On a corner, he stopped to light a cigarette. That's when he first noticed her. The car was big, convertible. He cruised by him, came back around the block, moving slowly. The third time around, he was standing on the curb, staring openly at the girl behind the wheel. She was very nice, young, blonde, considerably more than attractive. And she was looking at him just as obviously.
Hello.
Hello.
You've opened a door before, no doubt.
In other words, isn't it a beautiful night for a drive?
Well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said.
You weren't going somewhere important.
Oh, no, no, not at the moment. In fact, I was faced with a rather gloomy prospect of an evening at a hotel, alone.
Good.
But it is a beautiful night for a drive. I suppose it was on the golf course at Biarritz.
What?
Yeah, where we met.
Oh, well, that's a good place as any.
Yeah, only I've never been there. I don't have good imagination. Let's see. Oh, now, I remember so well those evenings at Monte Carlo when you'd say to me, Van, you must sit beside me at the casino tonight. You bring me luck. You called me Van in those days, remember? Never Mr. Barclay. And I used to call you, what was it I used to call you?
It might have been darling, mightn't it?
Yeah. It might have been at that. Or maybe the mystery woman. Beautiful, fascinating, and unpredictable. Especially unpredictable.
Oh, that's not very flattering, Mr. Barclay. You might have said, especially beautiful.
Yes, I might have. And that's it. Okay. You win. You're not only beautiful and fascinating and unpredictable, but you're too fast a worker for me. Now, how come?
How come what?
All this.
You're not happy about taking a drive with me, Mr. Barkley?
I'm delirious. But why me? Well, what have I got?
You're not unattractive, you know.
Yeah, but baby, you never saw me before. How do you know what I'm like?
Perhaps I like to take chances.
Oh. Didn't your mother ever warn you about picking up strange men on the street?
My mother was rather unusual, Mr. Barkley. And she taught me that when I wanted something, there was only one thing to do. Get out and find it.
Uh-huh. Okay, who's kicking? You'll pardon me if I pinch myself. This is something I wouldn't have believed. Sort of like an angel from heaven dropping in your lap.
I'm no angel, Mr. Barkley.
Well, Van, interesting girl, isn't she? Anything can happen on a quiet Saturday night. As you look over at her, the motion of the car moving her hair excitingly, you ask yourself if you might not be dreaming. And the dream gets a little better, doesn't it? As she swings into a long, curving driveway and stops before a big, sprawling house and smiles over at you.
Would you like a drink?
Well, sure, you're driving.
Well, then, come on. We'll go on in.
Hey, this is the swankiest roadhouse I ever saw.
It's not a roadhouse. I live here. Come on.
Inside, it's even more unbelievable, isn't it? The big hall, lush carpets, and on the walls, a treasure in fine art.
Hey, this is not a bad little place to hang your hat.
Oh, hang it then. We like it here.
You'll probably have two or three scattered around the country.
No, just a cabin at Bass Lake.
I gather you're not worrying much about any wolves howling at your door?
Not that kind, anyway.
The guy that owns this must be a movie producer.
Hmm? My father.
Oh.
And he's not a movie producer, he's just an art collector. Perhaps you'd like to take a look around. We have some very nice paintings scattered all over the house.
Do you think we can find our way without a guide?
There's no one else here. That's what you mean. We only have one servant now, and this is her night off.
Cozy, isn't it? The whole place to ourselves. All 50 rooms.
It's not that bad. We'll take a look as soon as we have that drink, I promise you.
You feel like pinching yourself, don't you, Van? This is the kind of thing that just doesn't happen. But it's real. She's real. And she's even more attractive than she looked in the car. And it isn't the cocktails you had. Finally, she leads you into the library.
You like this room, Van?
Oh, yes, very much. Always wanted something like this.
The right sort of library is good for a man. I designed it myself.
Oh, even though interior decorating. Well, you're pretty complete.
Thank you. Van, fix yourself another drink for the Countess over there. I'll be right back.
Take your time. This is all very pleasant.
Yes, Van, time means nothing to you right now. You fix another drink. Sink into the big leather chair and relax. When you open your eyes a few minutes later, she's back, smiling down at you.
Hello.
Hello again. Oh, I see your glass is empty. Well, that's easily remedied. I'll pour you another one.
This is nice work if you can get it.
Here.
Thanks. Hey, it's nice perfume you're wearing.
You like it?
I like everything about you.
Good. Then you won't mind doing something for me, will you?
Anything short of murder.
Walk over here.
To the closet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, open the door. There's something I want you to see.
Okay, I'll play games. Hey, I thought you said we were alone.
We are, Mr. Barkley. Because, you see, the gentleman in the closet is quite dead.
July 29th, 1951, The Whistler on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
You ever make a change and then think, Why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's health care bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in health care sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. Bible, 833-34-BIBLE.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, roll and go anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
Are you in bad pain? You know what I mean. Your knees hurt. Your shoulder hurts. Your elbow and back are constantly killing you. And I'm sure you've tried every pain pill or cream available at the drugstore. Am I right? Well, here's something you haven't tried. Pain Magic. Pain Magic is not available at any drugstore. The only place you can get it is by calling the special toll-free number I'm about to give you. And to make things even better, call right now and find out about our buy one, get one free offer. We're so confident it'll work for you that we offer a free bottle with your purchase. No prescription required. Call now to learn how you can get Pain Magic and get rid of your pain. Remember, your results may vary. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. That's 800-492-8164.
Now on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, an episode of The Whistler, Danger is a Beautiful Blonde, from July 29th, 1951.
For, isn't it, Sam?
Yes.
When you stepped into the car at the invitation of the beautiful blonde, you didn't realize what kind of a ride was ahead. It was like a dream, wasn't it? Going to her home, having cocktails, relaxing. And then in the library, the closet. Fantastic, Van. Your mind spins, almost unable to cope with the situation as you stare down at the quiet figure of a dead man on the floor of the closet. You scarcely hear the girl beside you.
You'll help me, won't you?
What'd you say?
All you have to do is help me hide him. Permanently.
Now, wait a minute.
There's a place out in the garden where some newly turned earth wouldn't be noticed.
But you can count me out. I don't know how this guy happens to have a hole in his head, and I'm not asking any questions, but count me out on any part of this deal.
Well, you said you'd do anything
for me. Yeah, but I don't go off the deep end for anybody, especially a girl I just met, a girl who's in the habit of keeping dead bodies lying around. Lady, pardon me, but I'll be seeing.
I think that you'd better wait, Mr. Barclay.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I see you're wearing a gun, too.
And I assure you, I know how to use it.
How can I doubt that? With the evidence staring me in the face.
Good. Then if you'll just pick up our late departed friend and come with me, I'll show you the place.
You know that business about your being no angel? I'm just about convinced. Well, then, you're in deep.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Not with a gun in your back. You carry the body downstairs as she demands. Go out into the garden.
There's a shovel. Start digging. Like I said, dig it big.
Sounds like a beach near here.
The back of the yard drops off to the beach, but never mind. We've got other things to do. Now dig it deep and wide.
Yeah. Okay, dig.
You dig, Ben. But with each shovelful, you tell yourself over and over that you're next. Dig deep, she says. Dig. And you're sure if so, there'll be a grave for two. Unless you do something fast. Fast and sudden. A heavy shovel full of dirt in her face knocks her off her feet. At the same time, you're leaping clear, racing for the drop-off at the back of the garden. It's a wild, frightening scramble down through the rock and brush until you hit the beach, running hard. There are no shots, no footsteps. You're away, Van. Free. Far down the beach, you work your way back to the highway. Catch the bus for town and the safety of your hotel room. You're too upset to decide what to do that night. You want to call the police, but the memory of that blonde hair and those pale blue eyes stops you. You want to be sure of her guilt before doing anything that might send her to the gas chamber. You turn in without deciding. Next morning, when you go downstairs, the desk clerk hands you an envelope.
Good morning, Mr. Barkley.
Hi, good morning. Oh, it's this mail.
Mm-hmm. Young lady left it late last night.
Yeah, there's nothing written on the envelope.
She just told me to put it in your box.
Oh. Well, thanks.
Yes, sure.
Wow.
That looks awful green.
Yeah, $100 bill.
No note, no nothing?
No.
Wish I knew your secret, Mr. Buck.
You'd like to know that secret yourself, wouldn't you, Ben? Now more than ever. $100 to pay for your silence. You catch the bus again, and as you approach the large house where you left the girl the night before, there seems to be quite a few people around. At the gas station on the corner, you find out why.
All set, Mr. Armstrong. Anything else?
That's all, Joe. Thanks.
Hi there. What can I do for you, mister? Run out of gas or something?
No, I was just walking by and I saw there was some kind of excitement around here. I just wanted...
Yeah. Boy, we've had in a long time. They found a body down on the beach this morning.
Oh, somebody drowned?
Well, maybe so, but got a bullet hole through his head first.
Oh, a murder, huh?
Yeah, looks that way. Guy named Alfred Hamilton lives right up the street.
Over in that house?
Oh, Ridgely's? No. Used to be over there a lot, but he didn't live there.
Well, I noticed there was a police car out front, and I thought...
Oh, that's part of the excitement. Not only is this friend of Mr. Ridgely's bumped off, but Doris Ridgely's missing, too.
Doris Ridgely?
Yeah, Mr. Ridgely's daughter.
Now, that's Ridgely, the art collector?
Sure, you know. He's about the richest person in the neighborhood. Nice man, too.
Yeah, and Doris, his daughter, I remember, I've seen her. A blonde, isn't she good looking?
That isn't the word for that girl. She's a peach. She's beautiful.
Yeah, but rather hard, spoiled.
Doris? Why, there isn't a nicer girl in town. I ought to know. I've been taking care of her car ever since she started to drive. Sure hate to see her mixed up in anything like this. Missing, too. She might be in the ocean herself, only her car's gone, too.
They think she murdered this Hamilton guy?
I don't know. But if you ask me, she couldn't have. She's too regular. If she did, she had a good reason. Hamilton was no good. Never could understand why Doris and old man Ridgely put up with him.
Just Doris and her father live there?
Yeah, Mrs. Ridgely died a while back. Gosh, I hope they find the girl okay. Just about kill the old man if anything happened to her.
When was this guy murdered?
Last night. And I can tell you exactly when. 10 minutes to 8 on the nose.
How can you be sure?
Because I heard the shot. You know, I didn't think anything of it at the time. But I did notice what time it was because I was just getting ready to close up.
Would you tell the police that?
Oh, sure.
Where'd the shot come from?
Well, how should I know? It was just a noise. Maybe from the house over there, maybe from the beach where they found him.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Say, who are you anyway?
Oh, nobody important. So long.
As you walk away, you feel sure about one thing. That Doris didn't murder Hamilton at all. She was covering for somebody else, wasn't she, Van? And you've got to find her and bring her back. But where? Where is she? It hits you suddenly. The cabin she mentioned. Here, at Bass Lake. You decide quickly, Van. Next stop, Bass Lake.
Hello there, young fella.
What can I do for you? Got everything here about your needs. Groceries, notions, drugs, fishing tackle.
I'm looking for somebody, Pop. I thought maybe you could give me some directions.
I'm the person to come to and tell you about anybody in Bass Lake. Who are you looking for?
Doris Ridgely. She's got a cabin up here, hasn't she?
Yep.
Well, how do I get there?
You don't.
Well, why not?
Wouldn't do you no good.
Why not?
Nobody there.
Oh, well, but I'm sure Doris is up here, and I've got to find her.
Well, if you got eyes in your head, you wouldn't have to go to no cabin.
Huh?
If you look across the street over there, you'll see a car in front of Ducey's Lodge. She's inside eating.
Oh, well, okay. Thanks, Pop.
Yes, she is in Ducey's Lodge. And you wait outside until she comes out. As she gets into the convertible, you slip around the other side and open the door.
Oh. Hello, baby. It's a nice day for a drive, isn't it?
Mr. Barclay.
Shut up. Don't reach for your bag. I'll take it. I'll take a look inside, too. Yeah, just as I thought. The gun, you've still got it. Well, I'll just keep it this time, if you don't mind.
Look, Mr. Barclay.
Just a minute, I'll do the talking. First, I'll return this $100 bill. Even if I had a price for this sort of thing, it wouldn't be $100.
It's all I had last night.
I said even if I had a price, I don't. I'll keep my mouth shut until I'm ready to talk. Or you are.
What makes you think I have anything to talk about?
Look, I think I know a good kid when I see one. If you're really in trouble, I'm sorry, but I don't think you are. I don't think you killed this heel Hamilton. I think you're covering up for someone.
No. No, I'm not. I killed him. He was threatening me, threatening to tell something about me. So I killed him.
I don't believe you. All you did was try to get me to help cover up somebody else's work.
No, that's not true.
Okay. Okay, so you're not ready to talk. Come on, let's go for a drive.
Well,
you know, I'm sorry I had to smother you with that shovel full of dirt last night. But I didn't like the prospect of sharing that hole in the ground with Hamilton.
You mean you thought I'd kill you? I never intended to do that.
Well, how did you think you'd get away with it then? Just let me walk away to tell the cops?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, baby. Of course you don't know. You're mixed up in something you know nothing about. You couldn't have killed this guy Hamilton any more than you could have killed me. So come on. Come on, come clean.
I can't.
Now look, whoever this is you're covering up for, they'll be found out eventually. Probably they had a good reason for doing this, from what I heard about Hamilton. But now you've got to get yourself off the spot, and me too. We're accessories to the murder.
I know. Mr. Barclay, why are you doing this? Why did you come here?
I'll show you why. Does that answer your question? No. No talking now. Come on, start driving. We've got to have a little talk with the police.
Well, Van, you found her, and she's grateful. You can see that. The way she smiles at you, weakly, wonderingly. And perhaps later, when it's all over, you can pick up the dream where it left off. You think about it as you drive back to the city with her. Then as she swings the big convertible into San Vicente Boulevard, she suddenly slams on the brakes, pulls up beside a police squad car.
Hey, what's the idea, baby? We don't want a squad car. We want to go to police headquarters.
Officer! Officer!
Yes, ma'am?
Arrest this man. He's wanted for murder. And be careful. He's got a gun.
You can't believe it's happening, can you, Van? But it is. And later at police headquarters, your dream has turned into a nightmare as Doris pours out a wild story to the captain of the Homicide Bureau.
And we'll hear that story after these messages. July 29th, 1951, The Whistler on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. President Biden taking action to curb sexual assault in the military.
The president signed an executive order today stripping commanders of the authority to decide whether to pursue charges in cases of sexual abuse, rape, and murder. The decision will instead fall to a new group of independent special prosecutors, advocates of military sexual assault victims for years have pressed for such cases to be taken out of the chain of command, arguing victims were too often denied justice. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Americans will only be able to buy LED lights from retailers as a ban on incandescent light bulbs begins next week. The ban officially starts on Tuesday. It'll only be illegal for stores to sell the light bulbs and companies to manufacture them, but it won't be illegal to own. The Department of Energy said LED lights provide more light using less energy and last a lot longer. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million-dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at gcnfreecbd.com. That's gcnfreecbd.com. Again, gcnfreecbd.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my health today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Now on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, the conclusion of The Whistler, Danger is a Beautiful Blonde, from July 29th, 1951.
They were both at my house last night. They left together, and then I heard a shot. When I went looking, I found Mr. Barkley standing over Alfred's body down on the beach. He'd taken his wallet.
What?
You'll find it in his pocket now. The officer already has the murder gun.
Are you kidding? I haven't any wallet. I don't
easy,
have any...
Easy, easy now. Well... Seems you do have a wallet, Mr. Barkley.
You see, Captain?
Well, look, she put it there, slipped it into my pocket while we were driving.
This is Hamilton's wallet, and this is the same caliber gun that killed him, Barkley.
But I tell you, I didn't kill him. It's all a lie.
Oh, hello, Ridgely.
You sent for me, Captain?
Yes, thanks for coming right over.
I'm glad I did. The lad's telling the truth, Captain. He didn't kill Hamilton.
Dad!
It's no use, Doris. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but you can't protect me.
Dad, please. Please don't say anything.
I said it's no use, dear. You can release them, Captain. This young man and my daughter. I killed Hamilton. He was no good. I shot and killed him.
Hello,
to a charge of first-degree murder. And now at police headquarters in the office of the captain of homicide. The surprises are hitting you like punches from a fighter, aren't they, Van? First, the attempted frame against you by the girl, Doris. And now, out of the blue, her father, facing the police, admitting that he killed Hamilton. You stare from one to the other, wondering and waiting. And then Doris breaks the silence.
But, Dad, you couldn't have killed Mr. Hamilton.
Why couldn't he? He just confessed. It's good enough for me.
He confessed to protect me. Dad had no reason.
He could have had the best reason in the world. Blackmail. That was Hamilton's racket.
Blackmail?
That's the answer, Doris. Hamilton had been bleeding me for a long time. A few days ago, I got the evidence to clear myself and expose him.
So you sent for him and told him. He got tough and...
I shot him. I had to. In self-defense.
Look, officer. You found the gun in Hamilton's wallet on this man right here. What more do you want?
I tell you, I never saw this gun in my life until last night.
No use, Doris. It happened exactly as
I said. No, Dad, I know you didn't do it.
There's only one way you could know, Miss Ridgely.
Yes, Captain. There's only one way I could know.
I tell you, my daughter's lying.
Mr. Ridgely is right, Captain.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant. Find anything?
Plenty. His daughter's lying to protect him. We know from the gas station attendant's testimony that the shot that killed Hamilton was fired last night at 8:10. And we've checked every move of Miss Ridgely's. And at 8:10, she was seen buying a package of cigarettes at the corner drugstore.
Then it was Mr. Ridgely.
No. Mr. Ridgely left Hamilton in his living room last night, somewhere around 7, after telling him he was going to expose him to the police. At 8:10, Mr. Ridgely was seen having a drink at a bar near Woosier.
So, Barkley, you did take Hamilton's wallet. What's your gun?
I tell you, I never even heard of any of these people.
No, it wasn't young Romeo here either.
Oh, go on.
Alfred Hamilton committed suicide.
What?
Suicide?
Yeah, that's right. There's no doubt about it. Powder burns on his face. He was left-handed. The angle of the bullet in the left temple shows the wound was self-inflicted. Paraffin tests on his hand proved beyond a doubt that Hamilton fired a shot a few seconds before his death. I guess when he realized Mr. Ridgely was going to expose him to the police, he just couldn't take it.
Oh, good work, Lieutenant. Now, Mr. Ridgely, if you'll come into my office, the Lieutenant and I will show you the reports.
Of course, Captain.
We'll wait in the car, Dad.
I'll be along in a minute, Doris.
Well, baby, you gave me a nice ride. A very nice ride.
Honestly, Vanna, I'm terribly sorry, but I was worried crazy about Dad. Do you think we could have that drink again? Sometime? Maybe?
Now, look. You're a nice kid. You're beautiful. Fascinating. All those things. Especially beautiful. But, baby, if you ever see me walking down the street again, just drive on by. Please.
Before you start your vacation trip, be sure to ask your signal dealer for a free copy of Lane's Guide, a booklet prepared by an independent travel organization to help you find good eating and lodging places. While no pocket-sized booklet can include all the good hotels, motels, and dining places, Lane's Guide covers a representative selection in hundreds of cities and towns. And a copy of this handy publication is yours free at signal stations. Featured in tonight's story were Bill Foreman, Hi Averback, Michael Ann Barrett, Earl Lee, Charles Calvert, and Bill Boucher. The Whistler was produced and directed by George W. Allen, with story by John Dunkel and Hazel Lytle, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service.
July 29th, 1951, The Whistler. Danger is a Beautiful Blonde here on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
Are you suffering with arthritis or osteoporosis? Do you have diabetes? Did you know that these are just two of the hundreds of diseases that have seen improvement with Dr. Wallach's incredible longevity products? You can't get them at a health food store. The only way to get them is to call us at 800-214-0065. That's 800-214-0065. Do you have heart disease, fibromyalgia, or high blood pressure? Do you have a terrible time losing weight? Dr. Wallach can help. He was a veterinarian and cured diseases in animals. He felt that he could do the same for humans, so he became a physician. Over 50 years of research and helping people like you goes into every bottle of Dr. Wallach's amazing discoveries. Do you want to feel better? Learn how to treat the cause of your problem rather than covering up the symptoms with drugs. Call 800-214-0065. That's 800-214-0065.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We'll close out this edition of Classic Radio Theater with another episode of The Adventures of Jungle Jim. Bill really likes these. This episode, July 29th, 1939, On the Trail of Water.
Of Jungle Jim, broadcast weekly over this station, are dramatized from the full-color action pictures to be found in the Comic Weekly, the world's greatest comic supplement that comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Join the 11 million adults and 6 billion youngsters who make their weekends more enjoyable reading the world's greatest comic and adventure pictures by the world's best artists, featured in every issue of the Comic Weekly. Insist on the Sunday newspaper that brings you the Comic Weekly. When Jungle Jim began the search for young Stacy's wife, who had been kidnapped or spirited away by hostile natives, he split his forces into two units. Following a fresh trail to the northeast, Jungle Jim finds marked indications that the natives and Stacy's wife are not far ahead on the trail. But sundown calls a halt to the pursuit, and Jim decides to pitch camp on a clearing beside a river. One of Jim's native trackers is suddenly pierced with a poison arrow and drops dead at his feet. Jim and his party try to find the arrow, but it has disappeared. Late that night, a mysterious native canoe containing a white woman and a native girl floats down the river. In her hand, the white woman holds the poisoned arrow. Acting as if in some strange hypnotic state, and directed by the voice of a high priest, she drops the arrow into the water as the canoe glides away in the darkness, unseen by Jim's party. Early next morning, Jim strikes camp and prepares to find the trail of the missing white woman.
Everything packed? Are the boys all ready to move off, Moco?
Yes, Master Jim. I tell boys what you say. All ready now.
Which way are we heading, Jim?
Well, there are no further signs of tracks anywhere here, Lil. As I said before, I don't think these natives were after, like that rough open hill country on the other side of the river. So I've got a hunch that they have taken the canoes and gone down the river. The river here is shallow, not even waist high. So we're going to follow it a little way, and maybe we'll pick up the trail again.
Well, in that case, we'd better take off our cartridge belts and spare bandoliers and carry them in our hands.
That's the idea, Lil. Got to keep our firearms and ammunition dry.
Yeah.
Boy, we'll need them. One if we catch up with those hostile tribesmen.
Moco, we'll lead. You and the boys follow and keep fairly close together. Keep your eyes open for any signs of the trail as we go along the riverbanks now. We might find some landing place for the native canoes hidden among those high reeds there.
Okay, Jim. There might be a small river or a good-sized stream that flows into the river, leading to their hideout, too.
That's what I think. They must have a base in this back country somewhere.
Uh-huh.
They might use the water to cover up their tracks.
Well, I hope we don't have to follow this river very far. This is hard, slow travel. We can't cover much distance. You know, the river flows fairly fast, and it's tricky trying to keep your balance. Uh-huh. Here's what we're looking for, Jim.
Hmm?
Look over there. Those reeds and rushes have all been broken down. Clear up into the bank.
Good work, Lil. We'll call a halt while Moco and I have a look in there. Come up with me, Moco.
Coming, Walter Jim.
You're right, Lil. By the look of things, someone has been here.
Tell it, Master Jim, you find something?
Yes, Moco. This place looks as if it's been used for a canoe landing. Let's go in and see.
Yes, Master Jim. Canoe been pushing here. Maybe last night. See how reeds broken? Still green. Not happened long ago.
That's right, Moco. And look up there. See that cut in the bank? That was made by the canoe. We're shoved up on the bank and off again. You see any sign of tracks?
Yes, Master Jim. Look. Here in soft earth. That the white woman's footprints there. And here more tracks. This made by native girls. Fresh track, too. Maybe made in night sometime.
Well, how about native men's footprints, Moco? They must have been here, too. But look around carefully.
No, Master Jim. No more track. Just two kind. One white woman, that be Mrs. Stacy. Other be native girl, Nari. That's all. No more. Moco, sure.
Well, that's funny, Moco. Yesterday, we followed the trail to the edge of the river where we camped for the night. That trail plainly showed Mrs. Stacy's, Norrie's, and quite a few native tracks. They all disappeared at the river, and now only two pair of tracks show up here. Those natives surely didn't go off and leave them.
No, Master Jim. Moco think Mrs. Stacy and Norrie be brought here in big canoe with natives. Then Mrs. Stacy and Nari get out of big canoe.
And we're put into a small canoe that was hidden here in the reeds.
Moco think that be right, Master Jim.
Okay, so much for that. Let's suppose they did get into this canoe alone. Where do they go from here? Certainly not towards our camp. There's a long stretch of open land where we were. If they'd gone past our camp in the night, the guards would have easily sighted them.
That be right, Master Jim. Canoe can only go this way, down the river.
Then we're still on the right trail. Come on, Moco. If our luck holds out, we'll still have a good chance to catch up with them.
What's the good word, Jim? Did you find anything?
Oh, I'll say we did. We're still on the right trail.
Yeah?
Yeah. There was a canoe beached up on that bank, all right. And what's more, we found fairly fresh tracks of Mrs. Stacy and her native maid, but no others. Which means they were alone in the canoe.
Oh.
They could take only one course, down the river. If they'd gone past the camp, the guards would have seen them and given the alarm. Come on, let's get going again.
What do you suppose happened to the native whose tracks we followed yesterday?
Well, Lil, that's part of the mystery we haven't solved as yet.
Do you suppose that those natives left Mrs. Stacy and Norrie behind and one of them fired the arrow that killed our native boy?
Maybe. But if they did, it was because they were drugged or put under some unnatural pressure to do it.
This certainly is developing into the weirdest, most fantastic job we've ever tackled.
You're telling me. I don't mind fighting someone or something we can see, but it comes out in the open once in a while. But this tribe of murderers are practically invisible.
What's worse, it appears they use women to do their killing for them.
Wait, Lil. Here's a small screen. They may have turned in here. Moco!
Pico!
Bring up another boy with you and examine the banks on both sides of the mouth of this stream.
Yes, Master Jim. Budimino! You're on you!
Diggy, Mindanao! I'm going to have a look around myself. Looks to me, something has happened over there. Those reeds are all bent over. Maybe the current of the water, but I'm not taking any chances.
Master Jim, Moco take canoe, go down little stream here. See, marks on bank there, canoe, run up on bank little way. Earth there, chopped by paddle where someone tried push canoe off again.
fine, Moco.
Same mark, like here on this bank.
I get it now. The white woman and native girl were in this canoe, and neither one of them very experienced in handling it, especially in the Cross Current, where the one stream flows into the river. They wanted to go down the stream, but in trying to turn in, they ran the canoe up on this bank, then backed off. Right?
Yes, Master Jim. Have trouble to turn canoe.
And they backed off on the other side and pushed it off. Then the current coming down the river caught the stern of the canoe and swung it out, and the bow in toward the stream. Then they paddle it down.
Think you'll be right, Mr. Stacy. No tracks on bank, so no one get out. So must go on down here.
That sounds logical enough to take a chance on. Okay, Lil. I'm sure we pick up the trail again. We'll head down the stream here. Now look, it's narrow and banked by high reeds, and we may be near their hideout. So everybody be on their guard. This is darn dangerous territory.
Camp where Stacy's party spent the night, there were also two strange happenings. First, Stacy himself had experienced a weird dream. His description of the dream likened it to the mysterious incident of the white woman and the native girl in the canoe, which had occurred near Jim's camp that same night. While he was reciting his dream experience to Colo, Stacy was interrupted by the shriek of terror of one of his native guards, who by the light of the campfire had seen a strange mark on Stacy's hand. Stacy was completely at a loss as to how the mark came to be on his hand. And pressing the native further as to the reason for his fright, the native tells Colo the mark is the mark of a high native priest and is a sign of death. Stacy, after a sleepless night, his nerves frayed by the unaccountable happenings, is up at daybreak, pressing Colo to get the expedition moving.
Hurry up, Colo. How long did it take those boys to get organized and moving?
Sorry, Mr. Stacy. Must pack carefully. We make long trip today. Important to take good care of equipment. But now, boys, be ready. We start along river. Work east.
I'll be hanged if we will. If I take that roundabout way, those murdering swine have their headquarters somewhere inland in that country to the southeast of us. We'll take the direct route over that open country. It'll be quicker and save us nearly a day's hard travel.
Mr. Stacy, Juan Jim, he tell me take good care of party. Always play safe. Not take chance.
What the devil chance do we take going overland? As a matter of fact, it's much safer. We can see where we're going and sight any natives in the open.
No, native too clever. Hide in rocks, places. He see us good. We no see him. That'd be bad. Kolu humbly asks you, follow him.
From now on, I'll take charge of this party. I'm going to find my wife without any further delay. You do as I say. Get those boys going.
Please, Mr. Stacy. Remember what Tuan Jim say. Let Kolu lead party. Everything be good. Kolu be long time in jungle with Tuan Jim. Know what be good.
Well, Jungle Jim isn't here. We have our own problems, and I'll settle them myself. Give the order to move on.
Very good, Mr. Stacy. Kolu do what you say, but it not be good. You see, they start for riverbed. They know which way be for best.
Then tell those stubborn devils not to take things for granted. Tell them I said we go across open country.
Very good, but maybe bring plenty of trouble.
Never mind arguing. Do as you're told. I'll attend to those boys if they don't get out of hand.
Very good, Mr. Stacy. Colo will only do what he thinks best. I tell them what you say. They say not good. You be wrong. Native boy. Say mark of death on you. Come on them too. Not one to go.
I deliberately fired over their heads, Colo. That's a warning. If they don't obey, I'll spray this automatic right into them. Now let's go.
You see?
Now they're moving. You've got to handle these natives with a firm hand. Let's pick up the step at a fast pace. Well, now, are you satisfied that I knew what I was doing? Been on the trail almost 8 hours. Moved over plenty of ground without even the slightest cause for hesitation.
Maybe you'd be right, Mr. Stacy. But this be bad country. Easy for natives to hide, watch us, and then attack. See, Master Stacy, ridge over there. Rocks make good place for native to hide.
Oh, nonsense, Cole. If they were going to attack us at all, they would have done so hours ago.
Those natives are impulsive.
They don't wait. We're perfectly safe. And so, despite Colo's
vigorous protests and repeated warnings, Stacy had led his men into a death trap. His failure to listen to the jungle wires Colo has brought disaster as the small party are mowed down by the accurate fire of the ambushed riflemen. Once again, the sinister enemy has struck with death-dealing speed and fulfilled the message of the sign placed on Stacy's hand. Truly, a mark of death. Don't miss the next exciting episode in the adventures of Jungle Jim. Remember, you can follow these adventures in the full-color action pictures which appear in the Comic Weekly, the world's greatest comic supplement containing the best full-color adventure and comic pictures. Remember, no other comic supplement can give you the top names of Cartoon Land like the list of all-star favorites to be found in the Comic Weekly. The whole family follow the fun and frolics of Popeye the Sailor, Tilly the Toiler, Barney Google and the Little King, the impish antics of Skippy, the Katzenjammer Kids, the immortal Mickey Mouse, as well as the exciting adventures of Flash Gordon and Jungle Jim. Join the 11 million adults and 6 million youngsters who every week find the greatest of home entertainment in the Comic Weekly, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. More thrilling radio adventures of Jungle Jim will be heard at the same time next week over the same station. Be sure to tune in.
From July 29th, 1939, The Adventures of Jungle Jim here on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. Thank you for tuning in. Please thank this station. Support their advertisers. Their kindness and courtesy allows us to be with you each and every time we show up here on your favorite station. Visit my webpage, classicradio.stream. You can stream our shows on demand. Learn more about Classic Radio Collecting. You can find all of our social media links. You can find a link of podcast apps where you can download our shows. You can contact me and you can even buy me a coffee if you're so inclined. That goes to trying to help us find more great classic radio theater programs. Thanks for tuning in and tell all your friends the great radio shows are right here at this spot on the radio dial. Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite radio station.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.